Yeah, just to say on behalf of the GLOW team, thanks for having us down. It's been great to be here today, and we're looking forward to this week to spend time with you and get to know some of you. Thanks very much for welcoming us down. It's good to be here. I just want to think a little bit this morning about that passage that Tom read to us from Mark chapter 2. I'm thinking about these people the Lord Jesus met, the man that was lowered through the roof, and Levi, the tax collector that the Lord Jesus called. And I want to think about these two big questions. Who is Jesus and why did he come? And we're going to think about these two questions. They'll come up in a second. Who is Jesus and why did he come? And these are two questions that Mark thinks about in his gospel. They will have a look together. Thank you very much. Thank you. And another question, so we're going to have a look at the passage and think about these two questions. Who is Jesus and why did he come? But what I want you to think in the back of your mind, another question that's kind of maybe relevant for us today. And that is this question here. It comes up, is it? That will be... No, it wasn't. There we go. Thank you. Thanks, Gordon. Yes, so this question here, why do we come to church? I don't know if you ever thought about that. Why do we come on a Sunday? Why do you come along to church to hear about God's word and to hear from the Bible? Why do we come along? What motivates us to come along? And I'm sure that if I asked everybody, there's lots of different reasons. And if we went out today into Fareham and into Southampton wider, and we asked all the people, why do you go to church? We might get a lot of different reasons. And people go to church for all sorts of different reasons. Some people, they might go for the company, and they might enjoy spending time with people and meeting people every Sunday. Maybe it's the atmosphere. Maybe you like the friendly atmosphere, and you come along, you can speak and chat to people. Maybe it's habit. Maybe that's what you've always done. You go along on a Sunday because that's what's done on a Sunday. That's what goes along. My mum used to have a phrase when we were in Sunday school. We used to talk about points mean prizes. So if you're at a Sunday school and you answer all the questions, you get points and then you get prizes. And, you know, sometimes as adults, and this is a temptation for me, that can affect how we act as adults. We think if we go along to church, that's good. We've got good behaviour for going along to church and we can please God and we can do the right thing. Some people are religious and they just like having a little bit of God in their lives, a little bit of religion in your life. I wonder, why do you come to church? Or is it because we have a need? Is it because there's something in us? We need something. Something's missing, and we have a need there, and we want to meet God, and we want to learn from God's word. So I want you to keep that question in the back of your mind this morning. Why do you come to church? And think about that for yourself, and we'll all think about it together. Why do we come to church? But we'll have a look at the passage. Who is Jesus? And Mark is writing his gospel. This is 2,000 years ago. And Mark's written, there's four gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Mark is writing the book to answer these two questions. Who is Jesus and why did he come? And for the first 8 chapters in Mark's gospel, Mark is going to focus on this question, who is Jesus? Who is this man? And Mark, as he grew up in Jerusalem, he knew the disciples. He was in the same church as Peter and James and John, and he grew up with them, and he heard all their stories. They were eyewitnesses. So these people actually spent time with Jesus and spoke to Jesus. And Mark wrote down what they told him. He wrote down the eyewitness accounts, and that's what we have in the Bible. Mark's gospel is a story of people who met Jesus, who met this man who did amazing things. He did miracles. He did amazing things. And Mark is focusing the first 8 chapters of the gospel on this question, who is this man? Who is Jesus? And then secondly, when we get an answer to that question, Mark then goes on in the last 8 chapters, 8 to 16, why did Jesus come? What was the point? Why did Jesus come to earth? Why was he here? Why did he go about doing these miracles and doing this good deeds that we've read about this morning? Mark gives us his own opinion in the very first sentence. In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says, this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And Mark tells us his own opinion right away. You never read of Mark's opinion later in the gospel. You just read about what the people saw. But that's Mark's point of view right at the beginning. He wants to tell us right away that he believed that Jesus was God himself. God the Son became a human being. And that's how Jesus could do these amazing things. Jesus could do miracles. He could help people because he was God. But as we read through the story, the people in the story, the characters in the story, the four friends that brought the man on the paralyzed mat, the crowd that came, all the people in the story, they all had different opinions, and they're still trying to work out this question, who is this man? And they're just amazed at the things they see. So that's what we're going to think about this morning. Who is Jesus, and why did he come, as we have a look at this story? So why did people come to Jesus? So we thought, why people come to church? And back then, people came to meet the Lord Jesus. People came to see him. We read about the four friends that came. And people had various needs. People had all sorts of problems back then. And we read about some of their problems in the first part of the gospel. There's people that have problems with demonic possession. Now, we don't think about that a lot too much in the Western world. It's still a problem in other parts of the world, in places in Africa and in India and all over the world, really. We have a problem with demons and evil. And there were people that were possessed by demons. They came to the Lord Jesus. There were people with various illnesses, people that were ill. We read about the paralyzed man. We read about people that had leprosy, people with all sorts of medical problems. And they came to Jesus because they had a need. And they wanted Jesus to meet their need. People that were outcast, as Tom were reading, they were reading about the sinners and the tax collectors. These were people that had problems. They were sinners. They were outcast by society. And most people didn't have any time for them. Most people were quite happy for them to be on the fringe and them to be put outside. They were outcast. They had nobody for them. And they came to Jesus as well. People that came were dealing with guilt and they had problems. They knew they were sinners. They knew they'd done wrong and they had that guilt and they came to Jesus as well. And we read later on in the gospel, people who were coping with death as well. People with all sorts of problems, real problems, genuine problems. They had needs and they came to Jesus for Jesus to meet that need. And the wonderful thing we find in Mark's Gospels, we read through, is that Jesus cares about these people. And Jesus has time for them. And Jesus meets them in their need. And he healed millions of people that were full of illness. We read about many people, crowds coming to Jesus with illnesses. And Jesus healed them and cured them. He had time for people. And he had time for people's needs to meet their needs. So that's the first thing we learn. Jesus cared about the people. And he cared about their need. And he wanted to help them in their need. But as we read through the story, particularly the story of the paralyzed man and the story of Levi, we see different kinds of people. We see the crowd, and the crowd all came to Jesus. We read there in chapter 2, it says, a few days later, the people heard that Jesus had come home, and they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room for left for them, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. The house was packed, and all the people came to hear Jesus. And when Jesus healed the man, when the miracle happened, we read there in verse 12, it says, they were amazed, everyone, they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. And the crowd were amazed at Jesus. The common people had that wonder and that excitement. Who is this man that can do all these amazing things? And they wondered who he was. Then we have the teachers of the law, the Pharisees. They came to challenge Jesus. They weren't happy with some of the things that Jesus were saying. And we read that there in the story. They say, why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Obviously, they didn't believe that Jesus was God, and they had a problem with him saying this. So they came for an argument. They came to test the Lord Jesus, and they came to challenge him. And then we read about the friends, the four friends that brought the man in their mat. And it said this, that some men came bringing a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And they couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd. They made an opening in the roof. Just imagine it. They went up on the roof. They were desperate to get their friend to Jesus. And they lowered the man, the mat that the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, see, they had faith in Jesus. Their friend was paralyzed. He had a need, and he needed Jesus to help them. And their friends had faith that Jesus could help them. Faith just means that they trusted in Jesus. They believed that Jesus was able to help their friend in his need. They had faith in Jesus, and they trusted in him. They believed that he was able to help. And it's the same with Levi, the tax collector we read about. He followed Jesus as well because he had faith in Jesus. He followed after Jesus. He believed that he was the one that he should follow. And there's a lesson we can learn there. These people had real problems and real needs. And people came for all sorts of different reasons to meet the Lord Jesus. But there was people that came because they had real needs and they believed that Jesus could help them in their need. And you know, that's true of us today. We believe that Jesus cares about us today. Jesus cared about the people back there, and he cared about the people in their need, and he was able to help their need. And we believe that Jesus cares about you, and he cares about us even this afternoon. 2,000 years later, Jesus is alive, he's risen from the dead, and he cares about our needs. He cares about our problems, and he's able to help us in our need. He's able to help us with our problems. If we trust in him, we can come and we can find that he's able to help us in our needs as well. But what are our needs? What kind of problems do we have? I don't know anyone here. We're just new, just glad to be here and glad to see you this week. But what are our problems? What are our needs? And I'm sure that everyone, no matter who you are, we've all got problems, don't we? We've all got needs. We've all got challenges. What is our need? What do we need? And what is what is our biggest need? What's our biggest issue? If you were to say, what's your biggest problem? You know, there's all sorts of problems. You just need to look at the newspapers and you see that people have all sorts of problems. Climate change, you'll see that in news a lot. Big problems with climate change. And we're not looking after our planet particularly well. We're plunging the resources and the planet's falling apart because of us, because we have robbed from it. Politics, there's always problems in politics. You just have to turn on the news and you'll see problems with politicians. This is the bit where the preacher would usually talk about Brexit, but we've passed that, we've solved Brexit, so that's fine. We don't need to worry about that anymore, not. So but politics, there's all sorts of problems and all sorts of issues. And we see in the newspaper there's war, there's greed, there's illness. People still suffer from illness. They did in the Lord Jesus day and they still do today. You know, people suffer from loneliness. It's a big thing. A lot of my friends, and I'm always surprised when I hear this, I'm only 30, and my friends are in their 20s and their 30s, and they suffer from things like depression. And the number of friends that have come to me over the last 2 or 3 years and confided in me that they're suffering with depression and loneliness. And people are, you know, people are broken and they're hurting. People have real problems and real needs. And obviously death, everybody dies. And we all have that problem where we have that need of death. But with all these sorts of problems, but what's our biggest need? And that's like the man with the paralyzed man. He was brought down to the Lord Jesus. And I don't know if, as Tom read it, if the Lord Jesus' question surprised you. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And you might think, Jesus, the man's paralyzed. He's wanting you to heal him. And the Lord Jesus did go on to heal him. But the Lord Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Why did the Lord Jesus say that? He then said, when all the sinners came to him, he said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." You see, Jesus identified what our greatest need is. And that is our problem of sin. The Bible tells us that all of these problems that we're facing, all of the things that we've gone through there, the politics, the war, the greed, the loneliness, the sadness, all of these things are as a result of sin. The Bible says that all of us have broken God's law. We've all turned away from God. And even though this paralyzed man came to Jesus and Jesus healed him of his problem, the man's bigger problem was that he was a sinner, that he'd broken God's law. You know, it might be a bit uncomfortable for you to hear, but that's what the Bible tells us. We've all turned away from God. We all want to live our lives as if we're in charge. Later on in Mark's Gospel in chapter 7, Jesus is asked about this again, and he says, "What comes out of a person defiles him." He says, "It's from within, out of a person's heart, the evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lawlessness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and defile a person." You see, Jesus was able to identify what our big problem, what our big need is. Whoever we are, wherever we come from, no matter how much money we've got, no matter which country we come from, no matter what our background, all of us have a problem with sin. We've all broken God's law, and we all have that need. We've turned away from God, and Jesus was able to pinpoint that. And all of the other problems we have, and don't misunderstand me, I'm not directly saying that if someone suffers, that's because of their sin. That's not what I'm meaning, and that's not what the Bible says. But because of our rebellion, because the human race have turned away from God, we have all these different problems and all of these different needs. But the good news today, the good news that we have to share with you, and the good news that Mark has written his book to share with us, is that Jesus cares about our needs, and he cares about our problems, and he's identified our greatest need, and he came in order to help us. And we've seen who Jesus is. Jesus was God himself who came into the world to do these amazing things. But why did Jesus come? He came to help us with our greatest problem. Jesus said to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He then said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And then there's a key verse. I said in the second bit of Mark's gospel, he focuses on this question, why did Jesus come? And Jesus says this, "For the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served. Not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, Mark's writing his gospel because Jesus came to save us. He came to rescue us from our greatest problem. And Jesus came to deal with the problem of our sin. He went to the cross, and Mark records it, and Jesus went to die on the cross to take the punishment, to take the blame that we deserved. He took our sin on himself and died on the cross to deal with our sin. But more than that, 3 days later, he rose again from the dead, and he's actually dealt with the problem of death as well. He's dealt with the problem of sin and dealt with the problem of death. See, Jesus was God who became a human being to deal with our greatest problem, to deal with our greatest need. Jesus can fix our greatest need, and that's why he's able to offer to this man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." That's why he's able to welcome the tax collectors and the sinners and to say to them that he's here to help, because Jesus offers us forgiveness. We have broken God's law. We have angered God because we've turned away from him. The Bible says each one of us have turned our own way. We've not lived our lives with God at the center. But Jesus came to rescue us, and Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to address our problem. And because of what Jesus has done, he's able to offer us forgiveness this morning. God won't hold us accountable for the wrong things that we've done if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus cares about us and God cares about us, and he's came to address the problem of our greatest need. So we've seen that the man had a problem. The man was paralyzed and Jesus was able to help him. But the man had a greater problem. He was a sinner. He'd broken God's law, and Jesus was able to offer him forgiveness because of what Jesus did on the cross. And Levi was able to follow Jesus, and all these people came to meet with the Lord Jesus, the sinners and the tax collectors, because Jesus offered them forgiveness and he offered them love. I don't know if you're aware of your needs this morning as you come to church, but Jesus is able to offer you forgiveness, and Jesus is able to address the problem of your greatest need. So that brings us back to the start. The question we've been thinking about, why do we come to church? And we've seen in the story that the different people, the crowds and the teachers and the sinners, they all came to Jesus for different reasons. They all had different reasons for coming to him. Why do we come to church? Maybe we're like the teachers of the law sometimes. And as Christians, if we are trusting in the Lord Jesus, if we are people who know Jesus, we need to be careful of this. Sometimes we can judge ourselves as being better than other people. And when these sinners and these tax collectors came to Jesus, the teachers of the law were upset. Why does this man spend time with these sinners and these tax collectors? They thought that the leaders of the day, they thought they were better than these people. And they didn't think they had any needs. They thought they were righteous. And Jesus says to them, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but those who are ill. He's not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, none of us are righteous. None of us are good in God's sight. The Bible says there's no one that does good, not even one. And if we're honest with ourselves, we've all got problems. We've all sinned. We're not perfect. But these teachers thought they were better than the other people. And as Christians, when we come to church, we need to be really careful of that. We need to not think that we're better than anybody else. We're all sinners in God's sight, and we all need God's forgiveness. We all need the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. So I wonder, when we come to church, are we ever sometimes like the Pharisees? Do we ever judge others and think we're better than others? Maybe we're like the crowds and we're just curious. Maybe you've come along this morning and you want to see what it's about. You want to learn a bit about the Bible. You want to see what this is all about. And you're like the crowd. You're amazed. You're wondering what's happening. And the crowd came to Jesus. They wanted to see a show. They wanted to see what Jesus was doing. They'd heard all the stories and they were interested. But maybe you've come for a deeper reason than that. Maybe you've come to meet God and maybe you have a need, a real problem, and you've come along to learn from God's word and to learn from the Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus rose again from the dead. He's in heaven today, and through the power of his Holy Spirit, we can meet God. We can pray to God, and we can meet Jesus. And Jesus offers us forgiveness. He offers to address our greatest need. He offers to address our needs. If we come to him and trust in him, we can have that need met and have Jesus come to save us. So just a few thoughts from this passage this morning. The people came to Jesus for all sorts of different reasons. Mark's telling us that Jesus is God, that he cares about us. And remember that this morning, Jesus cares about you. He cares about your needs. He cares about your problems. And then that big question, why do we come to church? Why have we come along this morning? Is it because we want to meet God and because we have a need? And if that's true of you, you know, Jesus has come to rescue. Jesus has come to save you. He can meet you in your need and he can save you. And, you know, as Christians, we need to remember that people have needs and problems and we have our own needs and problems. We're not better than anyone else. But Jesus came to rescue us and Jesus came to address the problem of our greatest need. If we put our trust in him, if we have faith like the friends of the paralyzed man and we come to Jesus, we can experience that forgiveness and that love of God that Jesus offers us because he went to the cross to die for us. So Jesus offers forgiveness for everyone. If we come to him with our need, we can experience that forgiveness today. Thank you very much. I'll just quickly just close in prayer and then we'll sing one more song for you today. Thank you very much. Father, we just come before you and we give thanks for the Lord Jesus that we've been reading about. We give thanks for his power and we give thanks for his mercy and his grace toward us. And we give thanks that he cares about us. Father, we just pray today as your word has been read, as we've heard from the word of God, Father, we pray that you would speak to each of us. I just give thanks for everyone that's here. I give thanks for Duncan Road Church. I give thanks for all the people that are here this morning. Father, speak to us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just speak to our hearts, that we might respond to the Lord Jesus. We just give thanks for everything that's happened today, and we pray that you would go with us for the rest of the day. Look after us, Lord, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.